Well, it's good to be in a good Saturday night youth service, isn't it? Feel the presence of the Lord and feel like it's been well worth that time that I finally decided to give myself to God and follow God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight for a little while. Decisions. Have you ever had to make a decision? Amen. Verse of Scripture found in the book of Joel. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We're often faced with times when we're trying to make up our minds about which way to go, about what to do, and sometimes we have big decisions to make, and we have, at other times, other decisions that are not so big, but yet we have to decide one way or another. Some of the smaller decisions could include, like at Baskin Robbins, when you order a chocolate ice cream cone and then you wish you'd gotten strawberry. Or you order a dinner at a restaurant and your wife gets what you wish you had gotten and you've made the wrong decision. But these types of decisions don't necessarily have a long-lasting effect upon your life. But there are serious times when you have to decide one way or another, and there are those times when you lie awake in your bed and you toss and you try to decide whether to go to the right or to the left, or whether to go forward or to reach this way or that way. And there are those times when you walk the floor trying to make up your mind which way to go. And some of these times and these decisions you have to make often affect the rest of your life, your future. Young people trying to decide whether or not to go to college often cannot make up their mind. They think about it. They try to get mom and dad to make the decision for them, and sometimes mom and dad can't make that decision. It's just up to the young person. And then the decision of whether or not to get married. It's a serious time trying to choose the right companion, trying to decide whether or not this one is right or that one is right, and whether or not, even if it is right, I should get married at this time. And then a lot of times after you make the decision, you wish you had waited a while upon making that decision. And some are even faced with the decision of whether or not to call the whole thing off. These are serious times that sometimes affect our entire lives. I had to make a decision once when I was going with one of my very first girlfriends. I proposed to her, asked her to marry me, and she accepted. And we didn't set the date, but we were planning someday when we grew up to be married. And I had never kissed a girl before in my life, and I was only 8 years old. So I asked her if I could kiss her. We were at church, and this was going on after service one night. I just wanted to see what it felt like to kiss somebody. And it was hard to make the decision of whether or not to ask her or not to ask her or to forget the whole thing. And finally, after walking around, scratching my head and trying to decide, I said, "Would you care if I kiss you?" And then she had a decision to make. And she walked around and scratched her head and thought about it for a while. And she said, "If you'll chase me till you catch me," she said, "I'll let you kiss the bottom of my shoe." And so, I had another decision to make. And we played chase, and I did kiss the bottom of her shoe. But these are not necessarily decisions that really affect your life in a serious way. We were just having fun, and it was all just a kid's game. But there are some decisions that are very serious. The most serious time that you can come to in your life is when you come to that time you have to decide whether to serve God or not to serve Him. It's a time when everything else is secondary. It's a time when if you say yes, you've made an eternal decision that will affect not only the rest of your life in this world, but in the world to come and in the life to come eternally. It's a decision. It may only take a moment, but that moment in your life when you fully decide, I'm going to serve God or I'm not going to serve God, and you choose one way or the other, the rest of your life will be affected. You'll either live according to the decision not to serve God or according to the decision to serve God. And too many people, too many times, come to that place. The church door opens, they make it to the house of God, they take their place in the congregation. The songs come forth, the testimonies are heard. Conviction grips the hearts as they listen to the message coming forth. And the sound of the organ music and the plea for somebody to make that important decision. And often tears come into their eyes and they decide, I'm going to live for God someday. Somehow, before I die, I plan to give myself entirely to God. That's a decision. But often, when they decide to give their hearts to God based upon being convinced that they have found reality here, and this is God's people, and this is real, and the truth is being preached here, so often they put it off. They have decided, but yet they're going to someday. A young man came to visit me a couple of years ago. He called me about 2 o'clock one Saturday morning and, no, Sunday morning, and asked me to get out of bed and come and visit with him at the church. And I did so. When I got there, it was a long-haired fellow with a gun. And he informed me that he had to talk to somebody because it was a matter of either I talk to a preacher or somebody that can help me tonight, or I'm going to take my life. And he said, I started to the house to kill my wife. And then I was going to kill myself, but I decided to come to the church and talk to a preacher, and maybe you can talk me out of this thing. So we talked, and we visited all night, and prayed together, and about 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, he decided that he would live for God. He decided that he was going to give his heart to God tomorrow night. I tried my best to get the young man to decide and get on your knees now and let's pray and let's get a hold of God. He said, I will tomorrow night. He decided, but yet he didn't do what he decided to do at that moment. And he put it off, and tomorrow never came for him. After he left, whatever it was that was driving him caused him to shoot his wife and kill her, caused him to take his own life. And he made a decision, all right, to serve God, but yet he didn't do it at the accepted time. Now is the time. If you decide to serve God, do it. If you decide you're going to live for God, this is now the time. I'm going to live for God. See, you can't go two ways at one time. You can't go forward and you can't go backward at the same time. No man can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other one, or you'll despise the other one and hate the one. If you try to hold on to two masters, you'll be pulled apart. There is no in-between in serving God. A lot of young people try to, in a lot of places, and not here. I haven't noticed it here like I have in some places, but they'll try to serve God and yet keep an eye out for what's on the outside. What can I do out there that's acceptable in the church? Constantly looking for a way to be on the borderline. What's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? Usually when a person comes to the point where they're saying, I don't see any harm in this and I don't see any harm in that, and they're constantly reaching for some worldly pleasure over here and some worldly pleasure over there, something that is on the borderline, and maybe it's a sin and maybe it's not a sin. Usually when they have reached that point, they have already taken the wrong steps and gone the wrong way, and they're headed in the wrong direction. When you decide to follow God, you make up your mind and you start going with Jesus and away from evil. You go toward righteousness and goodness, and you go away the bad. You can't go forward and backwards at the same time. You're either right or you're wrong. You can't be right and wrong at the same time. It's either yes or no. And God says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Eternal decisions. You know, you learned to ride a bicycle at an early age, and I've heard Dad say that he had this experience, and I did too. You come to a place where you're trying to stay on the bicycle, and there's a tree in the way, and you don't know which way to go. And you need to make a decision real quick. It's either I've got to go to the right or I've got to go to the left. And if you don't hurry up and decide, you're going to hit the tree. And there are those times that you can delay decisions. And it's all right in some cases. For instance, when I proposed to the little girl when I was 8 years old, it was all right for me to decide later on, well, I'll just think about this for a while. But when it comes to serving God, when you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, that's the time to do it. Right then. The only thing that's recorded in the Bible that causes God to smoke with anger is to make that kind of a decision and then put it off. Procrastinate. Decide, I'm going to go with God, and then, but I'm going to wait a while. It makes God angry. It's the most miserable feeling to try to hold on to God and the world at the same time. People who have made the decision to live for God and are not living for God are not happy in church, and they're not happy in the world. Misery follows them. They come to church time and time again. They're face to face with that crucial moment in their life when this time, if I decide to step out from where I am and go with God, from now on, it's going to be different. It's a step away from pride. It's a step away from worldliness. I'm choosing to go forward and go with God. Goodbye to selfishness and goodbye to lust and goodbye to all the things of this world. But if I don't step out tonight, I still plan to someday. Those kinds of decisions only cause you to become more able next time to put it off just a little bit longer. I've seen too many people believe in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, apostolic tongue-talking ways, and die lost. I've seen people fight for this cause, stand up for it, believe in it with all their hearts, come to church, faithful as they could be, but they put off serving God. They put it off until it was too late. But God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy on him, and our God, to our God he will abundantly pardon. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Hallelujah.
Call upon him while he is near. Praise God. It's a battle that people go through, and Brother David knows a young man that not too long ago he came to church and he saw his brother serving God and singing and up front heard his voice on the radio, and he decided he wanted to be like his brother. He made a decision to go to church and be important and be somebody that is up front, just like his brother. And so, the first time he visited the church, when his brother was called on to sing, he asked if he could sing too. And he came, and his brother started worshiping God, filled with the Holy Ghost, had it for about a year, and had a lot of zeal. And he started trying to clap his hands just like his brother. Started trying to do just like his brother, but there was something that wasn't the same. His brother had a real Holy Ghost smile. He had something on the inside that just went throughout the congregation. You could feel it. But when this young man who had decided to be like his brother came and started trying to do like his brother, there was nothing there. He didn't feel it. We didn't feel it. And we tried to bear with him. We tried to have patience with him. But finally, he just decided to throw up his hands and quit. That wasn't for him. Sometime later, his wife ran off and left him, and he decided, well, I need to go talk to a preacher. Back to the church. What can I do? I said, it's time to make a decision. Either follow God, serve God, put God first in your life, or work out your own problems and do the best you can. As time went by, and to make a long story short, he finally got desperate before God, started seeking sincerely, made his way to an altar, decided to live for God, was baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost, and then when he got up to sing, there was something in. Praise the Lord, everybody. There was something that was heartfelt in the singing, and it wasn't trying to be like my brother. It was just my God and I. I've decided to follow Jesus. There's something in me. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. But I'm just my old self, Johnny Wall, and I'll say what I feel, but I love God. That was him. Hallelujah. Praise God. First time I met this young man that I remember, he was a bearded-looking, long-haired-looking. You wouldn't believe how he looked. And I saw him when he stepped out from that pew. I saw him when those tears came in his eyes. I saw those hands go up. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than witnessing somebody coming out from a world of sin. Coming to that crucial moment when I've got to make a decision one way or another. Either I'm going to stand here tonight and I'm going to put it off a while, or I'm going to decide now. I'm going to leave my sins behind, and I'm going to follow Jesus. Or somebody like him, or like you, wherever you came from, finally decides to turn loose of the pew in front of you and step out into that aisle. There's something goes across the whole congregation because we feel that eternalness in it, that something that's going to last forever. Now is the time. I have to do it now. I'm going for God now, one step at a time, away from sin, going to a city, going to a place where I can dwell eternally with my God. Hallelujah. You either are or you're not. There's no two ways at the same time. You're either worldly or you're godly. You can't be godly and worldly at the same time. You're either consecrated or you're lost. You either have the Holy Ghost or you don't. I've had some heartbreaking experiences with some people who said, but
I'd bow down upon my knees and cry, "Dear Jesus, save me, please."
Some heartbreaking experiences with some people who said, but I don't see where it says it in black and white that it has to be just this way. It just seems to indicate that maybe it should be that way. Listen, if you've decided to go all the way with Jesus, the slightest hint in the Bible will cause you to line up. If it seems like you shouldn't cut it, ladies, don't cut it. If it seems like you shouldn't even dare to let it grow a little bit longer than those around you in the church, boys, don't do it. If you've decided to follow God, you'll want to make it for God the best you can. Lord, show me in your word what you want me to do. I'll do what I can to please you. These people who go the other way and they refuse to line up, and you hear them say, but I don't see any harm in just a little bit of trimming, or I don't see any harm in just a little bit longer than usual. The next thing you know, the boys, not only is their hair getting longer, but they'll come to church one night with a necklace on. Or yeah, shirt unbuttoned, or pants with no hip pockets.
Oh, boy. That's girl clothes. Oh, that's a
working. You ever heard anybody say, how long is long? That's one of the sure signs that worldliness is trying to creep into the church. How short is short? Or, well, these are ladies' clothing, even if they are pants. They're ladies' pants. They're not men's apparel. I've heard it. How many of you have heard that? Mm-hmm. Or, well, what would be wrong with wearing them at home? How many of you have heard that one? Mm-hmm. There's nothing any more wrong with a woman wearing men's clothing at home than it is for a man to put on a dress at home. You either are a man or you're a lady. You're either going for God or against God. You're either trying to please God in your conversation, in the way you act, the places you go, the ways you dress, or you're trying to line up in some other direction. And if you're going toward worldliness, you're getting away from God. But if you're going away from worldliness, you're going with God. Hallelujah. I'm not a clothesline preacher, and I don't dwell on these things. But there is a right and a wrong. There is a true, there's a false. There is a yes, there is a no. And I found out a long time ago that I made a good decision when I was just a young man. I'd been raised in the church, and I was a mean little boy, and I didn't understand a lot of things, and I heard Dad teach, but I didn't listen. I heard him preach, but I didn't hear, but I was there. And I was there over and over and over. If they had church on Wednesday night, I was there. Sometimes I was in the back of the church, but it wasn't long before I was in the front. He came out of the pulpit and ran back there and got me a few times and brought me to the front. And I didn't fully see everything that was being taught, and I didn't comprehend everything. But as a teenager in college, I went to a crossroad, and to turn to the right once would have meant to go to a place in Nashville, Tennessee, where I had an appointment to meet with the music union and become a musician, playing country music and all these kinds of things. Or to turn to the left would mean to go home to St. Louis and forsake that appointment and just go home and try to get a job and be in church with my dad and my mom and see what the future holds. I sat there on the highway, and I thought about the possibility of making money and being popular over here. And I thought about the being broke and not able to pay my car payment over here. But there was something that was there as a result of Dad and Mom taking me to church. Over and over and over again. I might not have understood everything I was being taught, but I knew enough that when I came to that eternal moment in my life, my decision to go home to St. Louis was not a rational decision. It was not a decision based on all the knowledge that I had, but it was just based on the reality that I had felt when I had gone to church over and over, and the testimonies and the healings and the power of God that was all around me. And I knew that someday, at some time, there's going to come a time in my life when I want to forsake everything in this world and give my life to God. And I may not be able to make it financially for a while, but some of these days, Lord, I'm going to follow You. And I turned that way, and I went up there, and I worked in a garbage can factory, and I got fired. And I struggled, and I was embarrassed, and I was always trying things, and seems like ever since, it's just been one struggle after another. But I wouldn't trade one moment of any of the struggles for the best thing Hollywood has to offer, because of the reality in serving Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not something that you, when you come to that eternal moment. I took a terrible chance. I decided to go home to St. Louis, and I lived loosely for God. You can't really do that. You either live for God or you don't. I lived recklessly for God. You either serve God or you don't. But looking back now, I realize, yet God had mercy. God had His hand on that little boy. And that little decision there on the crossroads up near Jonesboro, Arkansas, to go to church and be in church and be with a family that had taught me right, came and led me to the decision to give my all to Jesus. But what would have happened if I had decided to go that way and had met with a terrible wreck on the highway before I got home, not really living for Jesus with all of my heart, just knowing it's right, knowing it's real, discouraged, having my mind on carnal things, what would have happened? But we don't have to dwell on that. The mercies of God are so beautiful, He just gives us a chance to start over and to go again. And there comes a time in our lives when we have to say yes to Jesus and no to Satan, or just don't say anything, and you're still in the hands of evil. I don't know why this subject is on my heart tonight, and I'm going to close in a moment, but we're faced with decisions of whether to go forward or whether to go to the right or whether to go to the left. No man can serve two masters. He'll hate one and love the other, or he'll love one and despise the other. But I want to serve God. I want to serve God. Tonight, I have decided to follow Jesus. How about you? Hallelujah. You know, when you follow Jesus and you start working for God, you don't know what you're going to get into next. But I'd rather serve God and know that I've got something real and know that I'm in a good, hot, fiery Pentecostal church where people have got the Holy Ghost and a zeal to go for God than anything this world has to offer. Where do you go to do something for God? What do you do? Wherever you are, whoever you are, if you're walking with Jesus, there's something to do for God. On the job, if there's a person there who doesn't know God, there's a job to do. At the school, if there's a person there that doesn't know God, we've got a job to do. You may go across the country and go somewhere and work for God. But all the way, you passed people, and you met people, and you went through cities full of multitudes of people in the valley of decision who needed somebody to come and tell them, now is the time. Now is the time to make that decision to live for God. Let's stand together and pray. God, tonight there are people here who love You. Lord God, we want to please You. We want to dwell in Your presence. We want to be what we can for You. Help us, Lord, when we face all these crucial moments in our lives, to always put our trust in You, to be led of You. Lord, to not be discouraged in the things that Satan may try to do, but somehow to find all of our answers in our God who we have decided to follow. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to You, and help us to find the peace and the satisfaction that we've always been able to find when we put our trust in You. And help us never to worry or to fear what man can do, but to always know that when You're here and we have decided to follow You, that we're going the right direction. Jesus, if there be anybody here tonight that has decided and yet they are not serving You, I'm asking You now, Lord, to take them by the hand and lead them to this altar. Speak to their hearts and help them not to go away lost, but help them to be saved tonight in Jesus' name.
I have decided.
Hallelujah. Thank You,
to
Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus.
I have
hallelujah,
decided to
hallelujah,
follow
Jesus.
Thank
You, Jesus.
I have decided.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody like to come and pray tonight? Amen. Would you like to come and maybe draw a little closer to God than you've been? Maybe you'd like to just come and make a commitment to God. Lord, I want to walk with You. I want to go with You. I want to be with You. Oh, turning back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, take this home.